way Richard answered it, it means different things to different people. So, but people should stop trying to bash, because guys, look at coaches and footballers are actually playing the game and kissing the badge.
Yes, they leave.
Look at Mourinho has coached. He has coached Chelsea. He has coached Spurs. You get as coach Man United.
Yeah,
you get and he will kiss the badge at one point. Look at Lampard. Lampard loved Chelsea. Loved Chelsea. He played for City. Look at Fabregas. Fabregas loved Arsenal. He went to Barcelona. He went to Chelsea. And Chelsea. So like, if these people that they are paying the money,
yeah,
and they're the ones that can leave, so why can't you?
Especially
when you are not when you are not like it. Maybe if the club was your hometown club now,
yeah, that kind of thing. We in Africa have so much say in this thing. I don't know why, because most of us in Africa, if we are that patriotic, or we love, why are we not supporting our Aimba or Enugu Rangers or something?
Can't compare the quality.
No, I understand. What it's just me trying to make an example. Okay. Why are people in Africa not supporting QPR?
Richard, if you were saying the quality, he wasn't happy with Barcelona's quality and he went to a quality that is better for him.
Okay, now look at look at this example. Even the country we come from, Nigeria, we don't support them in the World Cup. Most of us will still support Argentina because Messi is playing, Portugal because Ronaldo is playing, France because Mbappe is there, our favorite players. Those are the people we still cling on to, even international tournament and push away the country we come from.
Vibe with Edmond Norris.
So yeah, guys, you're welcome to another episode of the Vibe with Edmond Norris podcast. I'm your host and I'm still the coolest boy in the world, Edmond Norris. So we are recording this podcast immediately after the... People are saying it's the biggest game in the world. Now, me, I still don't agree. And we're going to have that argument here because the Tibor boy is here. And he has some very strong opinion, but like it was really quality football, I think. One of the best I've seen this season. The first leg two was very interesting, the Man City Liverpool game. So I'm here with two big football fans, a Man City fan and a Liverpool fan. So who's going to go first? Let the person at number one go first. Etibo, what's good?
I'm good, man. How is your end though? Like, I just finished that game now, and trust me, man, it felt like a loss because I was really hoping we were going to take a massive 3 points to ease up the pressure on us with the remaining 7 games left. Even though people would like to say we have our remaining 7 games is easier than what Liverpool has, but it doesn't always work that way. It felt like a loss, to be honest. Like, I wish we had won, actually. I'm good, though.
All right, I'm happy to have you here. We're going to go into the argument of if you guys should have won or not. But Richard, what's good? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Not excited, but I'm not bad. Just there.
Okay, so how would you assess the match? Assess the game for us from a Liverpool point of view, from a football point of view. How was it?
Well, I would say we were quite lucky to even get something away from the game. Quite all right. We had our time. We had our chances, but our quality wasn't good enough. We were played off the park, especially in the first half. And I'm quite okay with the response in the second half. And I'll take what we have, and the season goes on. It's not over yet.
Okay. What about your team? Well, you analyze the game from a Man City point of view, especially considering both legs. I think you guys did enough to win both legs. You get to analyze the game from that point of view, because now it's 2 points out of 6 against them when it could have been 6.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think the nerves, the tension, everything just made the game what it was, because especially this one we just finished now. We started exceptionally well in the first half. We were the better team in the first half, but in the second half, like the first 10 minutes, Liverpool seemed the stronger side. I was wondering, like, did our defense go to sleep on all that? But they got a goal back, and for the fact that they got a goal back in the early stages of the second half, I was even thinking that maybe we were going to respond back. But time went on and on. We started dominating again, and at some point, just ended in the draw. It was really, really painful, to be honest. Seeing chances we missed to disallowed goal, which was rightfully disallowed too. But yeah, it's what it is. We'll just see what the remaining 7 games are asked to offer.
Okay. Talk about that Mahrez miss at the end.
Damn, that miss was crazy. Like, I thought for a sec, when the pass came to him, I thought he had even lost the ball. And I think, I don't know exactly what he was trying to do. If he was trying to chip Alisson or something, but he should have put it in. And if he had put it in, I'll be saying
like, you have like O'Malley.
She said, "If I put it in." No, but that was an awful miss, though. It was an awful miss. I still want to talk about the quality on display today. I mean, it was, I said that on Twitter that it was 22 players playing at the top of their game. I mean, De Bruyne was out of this world. Yeah, Mane was very good. Jota was very good. Trent was very good. And speaking of Trent, I want us to have this conversation because a lot of people are, for the second goal, it was poor defending, but. And with his brand and with the kind of person that is, a lot of people tend to talk about his defensive deficiencies, when I think that his attacking efficiency is more than cover up for what he lacks defensively. So what would you say, Etibo? Well, no, you, Richard, you are Liverpool fan. So what do you have to say about those people accusing? So would you prefer if he was more defensive and less offensive?
Well, for me, the defensive allegations are a myth. So far this season, he has been the better of the right backs in the league between Cancelo, James, and himself. Defensively, he has been better compared to the other two. And I think defensively, the high line is a big thing for Liverpool. We all know we play with high line, and many times we get caught off guard. And that's the whole point of the high line, to keep the opposition players offside. So defensively, for me, I think he's okay. He is very much okay defensively, because even the so-called right backs who are better defensively, we've seen them play against other top wingers and we saw how they performed. And I think his contribution in the attacking field is very, very much outweighing his defensive allegations that people are trying to put forward. But for me, defensively, he is okay. True, there might be room for improvement for all players. In fact, considering the right-hand side of the Liverpool play, Matip, Arnold, and Henderson, defensively, they are a suspect. They've always been a suspect this season. So I won't put all that on Arnold. So for me, defensively, I'm okay with his performance. He can improve, but it's okay. Not as much as people are.
Would you trade him for Rich James?
Never, not in a million years. Never.
What do you think about the Trent accusation?
Well, I think the accusation labeled against him like that he's very poor defensively is a little bit harsh, I would say, honestly, because this is a podcast. Like, I'm dropping every agenda aside now, because he's actually like Richard said, he's actually okay. It's not as bad as people make him seem. And the thing is, in this era of football, we've noticed that managers would rather have these kind of fullbacks like Arnold, James, Cancelo, those kind of guys, that their attacking price is very, very high. But we cannot have a fullback who has it almost balanced like the way Daniel Alves was. Like the way that those Daniel Alves kind of fullbacks happen once in a while. So I think he's a little bit harsh. He's an okay defender. It's okay, quite okay. It's not as bad as people are making him look defensively. So yeah.
Okay. Another Liverpool player. I'm sorry I'm picking on Liverpool players, but guy, Mo Salah now. Mo Salah has not scored from open play since January. Are you bothered, Richard? Are you bothered?
Yeah, it's a bit of a concern. But him not having that goal is understandable. Come on, he is a human like us. He's not a robot. The after effect of the AFCON and the World Cup qualifiers are telling on him, both psychologically, emotionally, and even physically. Come on, this guy has played about 5 extra time games, 120 minutes, 5 times in the past few weeks. So I think it's telling on him. When you, there was this point in the game where he was trying to beat Cancelo, I could see that this man's legs are tired. So for me, it's understandable. I'm not worried about his form at all. I'm not worried. He just needs a good rest. But unfortunately, we can't afford to give him that rest right now. We're at a very crucial part of the season. So I'm not worried a bit. I think the agenda is just being pushed, because if you look at his performance right from the start of the season up till now, he has been very, very good. His first half of the season outweighs this part of the season so much that he's still topping the assist chart. He's still topping the goals chart. So what else do people want from him? The after effects of this tournament have had a toll on him, and it's very obvious. And that's understandable, because he is a human like one of us. So I'm not bothered at all. I just need the other players who, like Jota and Diaz, to step up when he is having his days off, which is why football is a team. It's a team game.
All right. Beautiful, beautiful analysis. And I'm very happy to be speaking with you guys. I want us to predict now. Etibo, what do you think wins this?
Who I think wins the Premier League?
Yes, who do you think wins the Premier League?
Oh, of course, we're going to win the Premier League. It's not, I still feel Liverpool will slip up at some point. I don't know. It's just a feeling. But then again, you could say I'm biased because I'm a citizen, I know. But I think, and one thing I know with Pep is that he might have his faults in the Champions League. But when it comes to league, he doesn't joke. The 1 point gap, he's a manager I can bet everything on. He can take it to the end, and to end at that 1 point, and he would win the league. We've seen it happen before, plenty times. So yeah, with that and with the kind of experience he has in these things, I believe we are going to win Premier League.
What about you, Richard? What do you think?
Well, I think I'll go with Vinicius saying 99% faith, 1% chance. Currently, Man City are still in the.
That's not a Vinicius quote though. That's a Neymar quote.
Oh, is it Neymar? Oh. Whoever
yeah,
it is,
I agree, ahead of that PSG 6-1 game.
Oh. So I agree. I think Man City are still in the driver's seat of the league. They have the point advantage. And when you look at the remaining fixtures, 7 more games. I think, in my opinion, they have an easier run. We still have Everton to play. Yes, Everton are battling relegation, but it's a derby game. Anything can happen. Ditto for the Man United game.
Let me go over quickly the fixtures for both teams so that we can wait now, and then we'll move to other things, because a lot of things happen. We saw what Ronaldo did yesterday, and it must be addressed on this podcast. So for Man City, we have Brighton at home, Watford at home, Leeds away, Newcastle at home, Wolves at home, West Ham at home, West Ham away, and then Aston Villa at home on the last day. While Liverpool have Man United. I know that Man United are not what they used to be, but it's always a difficult game.
Yeah.
Everton away, that's another very strong game. Then Newcastle, who are doing very good. Tottenham, Aston Villa, Southampton and Wolves. So it's going to be very tight though. I think it's going to be very tight. But I still see City. I can't just bet against Pep. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the thing. But another thing is I didn't really get the fixtures we're trying to list out correctly. But if any of both teams are facing any teams fighting relegation, is going to be difficult. Those teams come, I don't know what they take at the last fixtures of the season. They cause upsets there and there. So if we are facing any of those those teams battling to stay in the top 5, to be crazy.
I don't think there's any
again. Alright.
Alright, no. Well, let's move on to speaking of Everton, guys. You guys saw what Everton did yesterday. They've been winless in a couple of games. So Man United came to town and then that result happened. Etibo, but talk about Man United. Did you see that game?
No, I didn't really talk see about the your game. Neighbor. I didn't really see
yeah,
the
yeah.
game.
But talk about that result and talk about their season in general.
Man United. Well, I think it's a spiritual problem at this point, because I don't even understand. I don't think anybody can get the analysis 100% about what's happening in that team. We can say it's the coach, we can say it's the players, we can say the atmosphere in the dressing room is bad. Nobody knows. I was shocked yesterday because, like,
previously, before the game, I went through the fixtures in the Premier League and I was saying, in my mind, I was like, well, Everton have been bad. So maybe Man United will use this to just get some... get points.
Some people were expecting Ronaldo to start pad against
them. I was one of them expecting that at least he would score one or two. But man, I checked the scores. I was like, I saw 1-0. I was like, it's just early. They will come back. Man, they never came back. I really don't know what's happening in that team. Like I can't even pinpoint if it's the coach, if it's the players or thingy. But then again, this Ten Hag guy coming, I don't know. Well, it's a good thing if a coach is coming to a team, and I can see United fans just like, yeah, Ten Hag, we want to save you and all that. I get the buzz and everything and the excitement. A new, fresh person is coming in, but I don't have the feeling that he changed things around.
Let's say we'll talk. Ten Hag is a completely different conversation. Because
all right,
but let's say from Richard, your Man United rivals.
Well,
they finished last season second. And this is something I always want to keep pointing out. So they were not in crisis before the season started. Yeah, they lost the Europa League final, which I feel like would have been different if they won. But like they were feeling good, they finished strong. Yeah, Ole was going to win the league for them because Pep and Klopp, I mean, you can't compete against those two, yeah? But it wasn't this bad before this season, yeah? And then they go on and they sign Sancho, they sign Varane, these are, and then, of course, you sign Ronaldo, one of the greatest players of all
Champions League.
Yeah, of course. So talk about how their season has gone. Are you surprised with the way they are going now?
Well, if I say I'm not surprised, I would be lying because I expected something stronger from them this season. Come on, after adding Sancho, Varane, and Cristiano Ronaldo, what else do you expect? You should be pushing for the league. If not winning it, at least you should be very close to it. But I don't really know what went wrong. I think the players have their parts, the coach, the board. Then even the influence that the ex-players have on this team, then even in English media, is another problem. I think the problems of Man United is not just one side. It's just like Nigeria. I think that's the best way for me to describe it right now.
Wait, I want us to talk about something here because like I've been saying it on this podcast for a very long time. I said it at the beginning of the season. I think there was one space we had when I was trying to explain what happens when Ronaldo comes into a club, and I don't want to say I've been vindicated, but like it's not shocking me. Do you understand? So like a lot of people are surprised. I'm not surprised, because guy, football has evolved past just waiting. Look at City. Do you think any of these teams today will have gotten away with a point as Liverpool and Man City if one player was playing on like 50%?
Well, okay.
Now I'm not saying Ronaldo is playing at 50%, but I'm saying that football needs more than just the finisher. And look at there are people even saying that the number nine position is dying because in football now, a lot is depending on you being able to move with the ball, being able to pass the ball outside, not just finishing now. And I saw that was what Ronaldo was going to bring. He was bringing superb finishing. But for Ronaldo to finish, you need to provide him with chances. The chances has to... There's just a certain way you have to play to suit him that current Man United team, when he came in, did not have. If he goes to Real Madrid, for example, Ronaldo will do exceptionally well. But I saw that in this Man United team, look at Rashford. Rashford is a shadow of himself. We saw what happened with Greenwood. Look at Sancho has not really hit... He hasn't hit the ground running. And then talk about Ronaldo's incident with that phone of that boy. Because when the report came out, a lot of his fans were trying to defend him and say, oh, it was a shame pad. But talk about it, Atibaba.
That thing, what he did with the phone is totally unacceptable. Like, for someone of Ronaldo's caliber, because I was discussing this with someone earlier, like yesterday we were discussing, she's a lady, we were discussing that incident. And I was like, this thing, there are two things involved, that incident first of all, we also have to take into cognizance that these players do have emotions and they are not made from stone. And considering the fact that they're just coming out from a game they just lost and their emotions are just all over the place. And Ronaldo reacting like that, that's the only angle I can understand him from. And it's not that much. But doing that is totally unacceptable. Like, you can't just hit. You should be showing example. Like, fans should be able to come up to you and you should be the one to...
Yes.
You should be the one
to... role model.
Yeah, it's a role model. You should be showing example. Not hitting a fan's phone off his hand. I don't know if it's a shin guard or not because we have not... I've still not seen a video that shows... that records it from the other side. So...
No, it's a phone. It's a phone.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So okay,
that's confirmed. Abi Richard, yeah. Did not see him.
Yeah, I'm yet to see from the other side too.
But yeah, the claims have been phone. I can share the video for you and anybody okay. That is listening. You can see.
Yeah, okay, let's just say it's a phone. But if it's a phone, it's unacceptable. Like, there's no reason for that. And I'm seeing that they are investigating him and stuff. Like, and I'm still shocked. Truthfully, I'm still shocked now. He has not come out to make a statement about that incident.
He has apologized.
Okay,
yes.
He said his emotion got the better of him. Yeah, and he's apologizing and he wants to invite the boy.
Yeah, that's
to,
what I was
is he actually a small boy? He said he wants to invite the boy to Old Trafford to watch the game.
Yeah.
So witness another disaster class.
Lock my life just shown on that little guy now through that incident.
Yeah,
but then again it's unacceptable. And
what do you think the punishment would be?
From a player to a fan, I don't think it would be that serious. I don't know. If he has apologized.
Bro, did you see what they did to Zuma? No, because this is not a player to player. This is assault.
Yeah, this is assault actually. But I don't but since he has apologized and don't know this come to the stadium and all that, let's see. I don't think it would be much though. And it's Ronaldo too.
No, well, let's move on from them. Obviously, I don't think anybody expects them to finish in the top 4. They are playing Liverpool next. Good luck to them. But Tottenham won and Arsenal are just arsenaring. So you guys should predict that top 4. Who do you see getting that top 4?
I think Tottenham will get it.
What about you, Richard?
Well, I think Tottenham currently, based on form, they are the favorites. Antonio Conte will always be a thorn in the flesh of the others competing. So they have to sit up. And even Chelsea, they shouldn't sleep on it because...
Ah, but Chelsea were suspects. Very good against Southampton. They trashed Southampton 6.
Yeah, it's Southampton and 6. I've been there too. Last season when Liverpool trashed Crystal Palace 7-0. From that match downwards, it was downhill. So they shouldn't get too excited. They shouldn't get carried away. Now.
All right, let's go to another league. I want us to talk about what happened, and I want Etibobo to talk on this specifically because you've been making a couple of tweets about the greatest player of all time. That
okay, come
here and let us address it. So Messi got a hat trick of assists yesterday to PSG. Yeah, Neymar scored 3, Mbappe scored 3. He's well on his way. 16 goals contribution now. So what exactly is your issue with Messi?
Okay, first of all, let me thank God it's your platform. It's a large, it has audience. So maybe people will listen to it and understand where I'm coming from. First of all, I'm a Messi fan. Let me establish that foundation. First of all, I'm a Messi fan.
Which makes your tweets very shocking, to be honest.
Yeah, which makes it... But let me explain what I'm saying. I'm a Messi fan. And I've loved him since, like, I think I was in GSS that time. That 2005, that under-17 thing started with Nigeria. So I've taken liking into him from that point. But my issue now, what I'm always saying is that he's not doing well in front of goal. If you are going to be honest about this issue, like, he's not doing well in front of goal. Like, people will say it's not about the goals and everything, but to defend him, but even at Barcelona, like, he wasn't also all about the goals. Everything was mixed. He was scoring, he was assisting, he was creating chances, he was dribbling and everything. But all of a sudden now, the goals are gone.
Okay.
And now all of a sudden now, the goals are gone. Like, for a player of Messi's caliber,
You can't have, there's no excuse for having just 3 goals in April in the league. If you say, okay, yeah, the greatest of all time, like it's inexcusable. If you say something like, okay, for example, if you say something like, okay, I want to focus on playmaking, or if you are using that excuse for him, if your goals is still at 15, 14, 13, it will still be, do you understand? It will still be understandable. Not something being less than 5. There's no Messi fan now that can even beat his chest and say, this guy will score 5 goals in the league before the league one ends. We are not even that confident anymore. So that's my
issue. This is my answer to you now. And I want everybody to hear this. Every Messi fan, if you followed Messi from beginning of his career up until this day, are you surprised he's scoring less? To be honest, you're a football
no,
fan.
No.
Are you surprised Messi is scoring less at this stage of his career in that team with Mbappe, who is literally one of the best finishers in the world? Are you surprised he's scoring less?
My answer to that would be, I'm surprised he's scoring this less. Like I said initially, if it was like 15 league goals, 14, 15, I'll say, yeah, okay. With this is, I think he has over 10 assists now in the league. Which will still be understandable. Not 3. It's 3 we are talking about here. 3.
Okay, ha. But 3.
It's crazy.
Yeah, think about
it now.
See, 3 it is. And if you say you are his fan, you are the one that should be defending him. Why are you? Why do you?
I'm not.
Now, obviously,
you can't defend the fraud.
You say?
No, it's not a fraud. I'm just like, it's too low. Come on, like.
No, it's too low, but it is what it is. He has been unlucky a lot too. I'm not making excuses for him. Or this is scoring for his standard, and considering how prolific he was, he has not been scoring enough goals. Yes, but he's still very, very effective.
Okay. Can I ask you a direct question in terms of his value
to his team? Of course.
Okay. Yeah. Do you admit that he has declined in front of goal?
Of course. He's only a foolish person would deny that.
Yeah.
What he used to be. This is a man that scored 91 goals in the calendar year.
Okay. But he scored
91 goals in the calendar year, 73 goals in the. So, like, when it's time for finishing. But, like, and this is what happens with players when they age. You understand? This is what happens with players when they age. Yes, he's not scoring enough goals. But you can still count him out. That's the most important. He's not useless. You understand? I don't want to call names, but like, yes, he's not scoring. A lot of other players are not scoring, but like, he's still going to give you so much, much more.
This is
why I will always say that like football is more than goals. That's the truth.
An assist is also
equal to a goal, because like without a goal, there is no assist. I mean, without assist, there's no goal for most of the time. Yeah, some people can score long range. Even for headers, you need someone has to give you the ball. And Messi doesn't just make like mediocre assists. You always see that the quality of his assists, quality of his passes are just guy 400 assists plus and scoring the amount of goals that he has scored. I can pardon him for 3D goals. I can. And I think every other Messi fan should. So like when I see you, it's actually very shocking. Because like, what do you want him to do? You want to score 20?
Wait. Herman, the truth of the matter is, now we are saying these things because it is actually what it is. He has like 3 league goals and his goal tally is poor. But can you remember when he was moving to PSG, what we were all expecting?
Yeah, exactly.
In that kind of league.
As it's not that kind of league.
Like, we were all saying like, God, this nigga is going to tear up this place. Like, we were just... See, me, I was so happy, like, thank God, like, goals every weekend.
Let's hear what Richard has to say about it right. so that we can move on. The meeting is almost ending. But like, see, Richard. Oh no, yeah. Not Richard. Like, a lot of people were expecting him to score a lot of goals in the French Farmers League, but it has not been so. Yeah,
but I hope next season is better.
Secondly, when you now look at it this way, and I made a tweet about this very early before the season started. I'm like, don't be surprised if you see Messi scoring less goals. I think that he's not good. Do you think if he wants to compete with goal scoring with Mbappe in that team, you think he cannot? Why do you? Because if you watch his position, if you watch his games, he's not even trying to score anymore. he's not even getting in positions. He's always withdrawing back. He's always withdrawing back.
But for the so like, understanding. But at least if it was like sometimes, 14, 15, it's understandable.
He doesn't have the pace. He doesn't. But he scored in the Champions League too now. but I understand. I'm not going to say yet. Obviously, the allegations against him that his goals are low are valid. I'm not going to argue with people that are dragging him for that. Good. But my own is just shocking that it's coming from a Messi fan. That's why I'm always shocked. If I see Ronaldo fan making those kind of tweets, I'm not gonna be upset because like that's your job. You get if I was a Ronaldo fan too, I'll probably be lording it over Messi fans. But then when you now look at it, Messi has more goal contribution this season than Ronaldo, despite playing less games.
I think all of us miss him scoring goals. Like
I think we just miss it too.
I think we miss him scoring goals, to be honest.
Yeah. So let's talk Champions League quickly, guys. Champions League, Man City, Atletico, guy. How was that? Wow.
Well, I didn't see much of it. I was watching my club.
Okay, so how was Liverpool? Liverpool played Benfica.
Yeah. It was a walk in the park until we considered the goal. Then they piled on the pressure. Then they scored before we extended our lead. So I don't expect anything different from the match. Just need us to seal it up next week.
Is that tie done?
It's done. It's done. Yeah, it's done and dusted.
It's done.
Done. What about Villarreal? What about Villarreal? Villarreal Bayern. I think they beat Bayern 1-0.
Yeah, they did.
Well, is that tie done?
I think the Villarreal Bayern game, I think is done in favor of Bayern. I don't see what Villarreal wants to do. Like
Bayern has changed their entire level.
We are going to see satanism.
That thing probably make them even look more like a laughing stock. Come this week.
Guy, don't be so sure.
Well, regardless, I think for a team like Villarreal, it's still okay. Nobody expected them to go this far.
Yeah, true. That's another thing.
I won't
watch the game, but is this situation where you just check flash score, live score, you just see Lewandowski. It happens like that. Like, in the first half, you just see Lewandowski.
All right. What about the Champions League game with the Man City Atletico? How was that for you? Because you guys won 1-0 and it was brilliant goal from Foden and De Bruyne.
Then again, Atleti, I wasn't expecting too many goals in that game. We all know the way they play and how their tactics. So I was okay with the 1-0 win. At least we didn't draw and it was not a loss. But going the second leg is going to be really, really interesting because it seems like they are now also on a good form themselves. In their last two games, they've lost. And with what happened today against Liverpool with us, I think we'll go into that game and we'll also win again. I see us winning again.
What do you think, Richard? Who do you see winning that game?
Well, I think this time around, Atletico will come out. And we know Man City. We know how much they like to control the game. So they are winning of the game. They have to keep possession. But it's going to be a really tough one this time around. I don't think Atletico will sit back like they did in the first leg. This time around, they'll take it to Man City. Maybe not as much,
Take it to Man City, you will chop it.
Yeah, it is not
right. They want you to take it to them.
Not really.
I mean, that's what I think. Because I think that most times, they play like 90% of their games with teams sitting deep, yeah? So whenever they get time to play a club with that tries, guys, these people are very clever. This Man City team is a very, very good side. I mean, the way they play, Pep Guardiola, I think, is the greatest manager of all time. So I don't need to. But was it surprising? And it was surprising for me to hear that Simeone earns way more. Simeone is the highest earning coach in the world, and he earns way more than Pep. Did that surprise you guys?
No, it's not. Yeah, I've known this for like 2 years now, or a year plus. But
Richard, you're shocked?
It's actually shocking
for me because I'm wondering where the Atletico get that money from.
Exactly. Considering Guardiola's
to be paying a coach that high, like
Guardiola's pedigree, considering the Manchester City's Arab money, you expect Guardiola to be earning something very, very huge.
Yeah, I think Pep is second, I think, but.
Second.
Yeah.
All right. What about the last one? The Chelsea Madrid. The guys.
That's another done game for Madrid. Like, I don't see how Chelsea's gonna. I don't know. You know, football is surprised. Is football.
But at the Bernabeu, but I don't think they can come back. I think the tie is done. Yeah, it will never happen.
Done. Except something happens to Benzema. No, but I still see him scoring about 2 goals that day again. He's unstoppable right now. So I don't know how Chelsea can do it.
Well, Tuchel said passing is affecting Kante, so nothing to expect from Chelsea.
Ah, that's crazy. Well, no, Wala, it's been a lot of fun talking with you guys. I'm happy because you guys are, both of you, I've tried to record with you guys like separately in the past, and I've not been able to do that, but I'm happy that we've been able to do that now. And because, like, I enjoy you guys on the timeline, even though
it's cruise, no, trust me. How, like, 90% of those is cruise. I'm just laughing where I am.
I know, that's why most times I just sit there and I just scroll past. But you guys should give us a social media handle so that my guests can go and follow you. Please, guys, if you are listening, these are the guys that are going to make football interesting for you on Twitter. So please follow them. Etibobo handle, please.
Yeah, Etibobo _. It's the same on Instagram. Etinbobo _. It's the same on Instagram and Twitter too. So follow me, guys.
What about you, Richard?
Well, I'm Richard at Rich _ Arch, ARCH5 on Twitter.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. You guys face each other again in the FA Cup.
Yeah, this weekend. This weekend. It's really crazy.
Quick.
No, this time we're beating
them. I'm tired of playing Man City.
I'm not tired of playing these guys. No, I'm not tired at all. My problem is Pep should just start Mahrez for me. Please.
Ramadan Mahrez.
Wait. I don't think we can end this podcast now. I want. Okay, guys, I was about to end the episode and I just realized that I'm here with the Barcelona runaway fan. Right. That left us and went to I went to Man City because I'm like, why do you leave Barcelona and go to another club? Because after Barcelona, it doesn't get better than Barcelona. So explain what happened, what transpired that made you to give up on us.
Truthfully, the thing is that it's been coming. It didn't just happen, all of a sudden overnight. It's been a build up from the Roma disappointment to, I think after Roma, it was Liverpool, then Bayern Munich. And you could say it was happening in the Champions League, but it started showing in the league as well with the appointment of Koeman, Setien, Valverde's last years. It just became unbearable at the point. And it was no longer interesting for me. So that's why, that's just the reason why I didn't see. And especially, I think I left the club. I stopped supporting the club. I think February last year. It's over a year now. So at that point, I didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel for this team. that's truthfully because things were up until Xavi came now, and things are looking a bit better, which I'm happy for them, but I'm still not carried away. Until he starts a fresh full season by himself, then I can know, okay, if the guy is really the real deal and all that. But that was where I left. And being and deciding to support Man City for me was just bliss. I've not regretted it since then. Trust me.
Okay, so my question to you now is this.
Yeah.
If in the future, because clubs go through spells and they go through phases, Barcelona were going through a bad phase with the whole that Valverde thing was just an abnormal. It was fucking crazy. It pissed me off too. And then Setien came in. It was not any better. Koeman came in. Messi just peepered over the cracks and then until he couldn't, yeah? So, but all that is done now. Xavi is coming. It looks like we're finally in a good place. They're currently playing now, so we're talking. I won't be able to report on that one. Probably at the end of the episode, though. But if in the future, something happens to Man City that makes them start to go through a similar, do you leave them too?
No, I've said on the timeline, like I've tweeted a couple of times that City is my last bus stop. I think because with me personally, I think I'm even getting a little bit tired of the whole fanning a particular team and all. Where I see my mind heading towards now is I'll just enjoy the beautiful game or just stand the coach or something. But City is my last bus stop. I don't see myself supporting on that team apart from City now. But these things are easy to say right now. Nobody knows what's going to happen later. But for now, I see myself being in City for a very long time because I enjoy
it. What about you, Richard? What do you think? What do you think about football fans that switch clubs? Because everybody knows Suki left Man United.
Yeah, I'll say something.
Suki left. There are a lot of people that said that I left Arsenal to Barcelona, which is not true. What happened was What happened was I was a kid growing up. Yeah. So I supported both because I love both. Why are you laughing? Wait now. So this is what happened when I want. Yeah, because their tweets also showing me supporting Barcelona. You get. Mm-hmm. I watched Barcelona in the Ronaldinho, Deco, Eto era. So like, I was a fan of both. But what happened was when I wanted to brand myself and I wanted to build my brand, I decided that Omo, you have to pick one. You understand? And of course, I went with the one that had Messi. There's no two. And what I did was, I literally stopped following Arsenal. I stopped listening, following their news. I stopped watching their games. So like a complete, I just picked one that's okay. This is the one I want to go all in. Do you understand? So
you have to switching detoxify.
Clubs, you say?
So you detoxified yourself of Arsenal.
Exactly. So, but what do you think about people that switch clubs?
Well, personally, it all depends on the way they see the game. Some people, it's just a normal thing for them. They don't really have passion for a particular group. They just want to be on the winning side and just enjoy it. Then, while some, they have this deep passion for a particular club. Well, I think life is not that hard. But personally, I don't really count them because I see it as people who just are trying to avoid difficult situations and banter. Because
you're a Liverpool fan, and you've been a Liverpool fan from when? Since when?
Since when I was in primary school. Like, I remember my
class. So that's a lot of years. So all those barren champion Premier League years, you went through it with them.
I went through with it, yeah. The Europa League, the relegation period. So to me, I think, and that period, we couldn't say much because, come on, yeah, Liverpool fan, my friend going to sit down at the back. European champions are discussing.
I think it's part of the game,
actually. The emotions, the period of winning, the period of losing. I think football is life. So the period of winning, the period of losing, the period of getting so close and not reaching it, the period of getting it so much that you begin to lose respect for the trophies. I think it's all part of life. So I think jumping ships is not really a thing for me. I just want to stick to one club and whatever happens, come on, it's football. So we keep moving.
Yeah, I want to just touch on this glory hunting thing that is like, it's trendy. Like, especially for me, I've gotten the tag so many times, a glory hunter is a glory hunter that. But the truth of the matter remains that even when most people, the club they're supporting now, that's not the club they were supporting back then when they were even far younger. Because me, I was truthfully, my first club I ever liked was AC Milan back in junior secondary school at the time.
I liked AC Milan.
That era, like, I really, really loved them. But then again, yeah, that was when I started watching football, really, because it was my first club I started liking. But then again, Ronaldinho came on and, oh my goodness, it was so... Mm-hmm. Brilliant, and everybody loved him. So it's very difficult to love a player that much and not love the club. It's virtually almost impossible because you now be watching him in his team, noticing other players that are good. That I like this.
Exactly, because that was one struggle I had, because most times Arsenal and Barcelona will play then. Yeah, And in my heart of heart, I'm like, Messi needs this to win the Ballon d'Or. Of course, I have to support him. So, like, there was no point of me just affiliating myself with Arsenal anymore.
Yeah.
You get caught. Whenever, okay, you say, okay, you're an Arsenal fan. But when you meet against Barcelona, you always want Barcelona to win. So, you get... So, this is what me, I think, though. This is what me... I don't think it should be that deep for people. It's deep. Yeah, and it's I like the way Richard answered it. It means different things to different people. So, but people should stop trying to bash, because guys, look at coaches and footballers that are actually playing the game and kissing the badge.
Yeah, they leave.
Look at Mourinho has coached. He has coached Chelsea. He has coached Spurs. You get. He has coached Man United.
Yeah,
you get. And he will kiss the badge at one point. Look at Lampard. Lampard loved Chelsea. He played for City. Look at Fabregas. Fabregas loved Arsenal. He went to Barcelona. He went to Chelsea. And Chelsea. So, like, if these people that they are paying the money,
yeah,
and they the ones that can leave, so why can't you?
Especially
when you are not. When you are not, like, it. Maybe if the club was your hometown club now.
Yeah, that kind of thing. We in Africa have so much say in this now. I don't know why, because most of us in Africa, if we are that patriotic, or we love, why are we not supporting our Aimba or any Rangers now, or something?
Can't compare the quality.
No, I understand. What it's just me trying to make an example. Okay, why are people in Africa not supporting QPR?
Richard, if you were saying the quality. He wasn't happy with Barcelona's quality and he went to a quality that is better for him.
Okay, now look at look at this example. Even the country we come from, Nigeria, we don't support them in the World Cup. Most of us will still support Argentina because Messi is playing, Portugal because Ronaldo is playing, France because Mbappe is there, our favorite players. Those are the people we still cling on to, even international tournament and push away the country.
I think it's all back to quality, actually, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it's not a matter of if we are that good. Okay, why are we not in Africa not supporting QPR or Southampton? Why are we going
to... I think it's quality and your ambition, actually. And what you want.
Because I just saw that.
A lot of Man United fans now, if you speak to them, a lot of them are not happy. A lot of them look disinterested. But it's the truth now. So if you're a Man United fan right now and you're finding joy in another club, you may not leave, but like if you're already starting to watch other clubs more than you don't want to cheat already now. You get it, even though you don't want to admit it to yourself. Because football is for entertainment. So if the football is no longer entertaining you,
you can leave.
If you want to stay, good for you and congratulations. But like I don't subscribe to like bashing football fans. You and it's not you are more loyal.
I think it's just banter, actually. It's just banter.
Yeah. It's just... I went to a team that doesn't have a Champions League. They are still bantering me and calling
you. You went to a small club, but you're
okay. You see now.
You will not stop talking. I know you watch Barcelona.
Once in a while, I do.
But are you happy with Javi though?
Yeah, he seems like he's doing good now. It's really, really, he really changed things. I was even surprised, like, he even changed things that
fast.
But then again, like I said before, I don't want to get carried away. I just, like, in my head, I'm like, let a fresh season start and everything. Yeah. So I will really know, because something I learned from last the coaching experience. Okay.
Last question. Will you come back to Barcelona?
Will I come back? No, it's impossible. That chapter is closed.
Homecoming.
You don't even feature yourself because Barcelona probably
even if they go back top of Europe.
No, I don't think so.
All right, guys, it's been so much fun talking to you guys.
Thank you so much. You guys should help me share it
when it's out. I'm gonna send the link to you guys after this call so that you help me share it to that people. So I would edit it tomorrow morning before 12, it will be out, and I will share the link with you guys. So please help me share it to all your football guys, all your football people. Let them come and vibe with us.
All right, no, thanks, man.
Thank you very much, Edmund.
All right. So yeah, guys, I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I know I did. Big shout out to Eti, Bobo, and Richard for coming to do the podcast with me. Some very important information before we leave today, guys. please check out the last podcast episode I produced. I named that one Sell With Your Words, Selling With Your Words with a $1.5 copyright at Golibay. So that one is very interesting, and there's a very big offer for anybody that wants to learn copywriting. Copywriting is one of the high earning skills in 2022. So like, the guy is a Nigerian copywriter that is doing it. I've gone and brought him to come and share his experience and to come and give some of his values and his knowledge. So you guys should check them. It's very interesting. It doesn't matter what business you are in. You are an influencer, you have a business, you sell shoes, you have a 9-to-5. It doesn't matter what you're doing, provided you're a human being. You need the value that comes from copywriting. So if you want that information, and if you want to know, because copywriting will teach you how to sell, and everybody needs to sell, because you need to sell to win, you need to sell to make money, you need to sell for your business. So if you are listening, he's giving out a free course. It will expire on Tuesday. This podcast is coming out on Monday. By Tuesday, he will stop giving out the free course and he will start to sell a new course that he's selling. So if you want that free course before the offer is down, please check out that podcast. Listen to it. It's very good. One of the best ones I've produced. Another very important information is that our podcast merch is ready. I don't know if you're on social media, you'll have been seeing me posting them. So we're still working on trying to we're almost done. We're like 80% done. We'll finally be available for pre-ordering and for ordering. So those people that buy it first are going to get some special bonuses from me. So you guys should check that one out as well. Be ready. We're almost clocking 1 year and I'm super excited. I want to celebrate to everybody that I've had to meet along this journey of podcasting. And finally, the offer to join my content training community is still open. It will be closing very soon because I only want to work with a certain number of people. So once I get to that number, I will close it. And before I will open it again, it's going to be in May. And by then, the value of the training will have gone up. So if you want to understand how content works, you want to understand how to distribute your content, you want to understand how social media works, how branding and influencing works, you want to build your personal brand, this training is for you. It's a 65-day training and it's currently going for just 25K. But I'm willing to split the payment because I understand that things is hard in Nigeria and I really want to help you in two parts. So you pay 15 first and then 10 later. If at the end of 4 weeks you are not happy with the training, you are free to take your money back. So I'm literally taking all the risks from you. So this training is still open, and this is, I'm telling you, because you guys are my guys, and this is the lowest it will ever be. When I started in February, you can go and check some of the podcast episodes we produced, it was 10, now it's 25. It will soon increase, so take advantage now. Very soon the slot will be filled. So I hope you guys are good. Don't forget to share the podcast if you enjoyed it. And again, big shout out to Etibo and Richard. God bless you guys, and I will see you on Friday.